The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
I'll tell you exactly why Jew hatred is rising around the world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, another very sobering and important broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Coming your way once again from our studio at Christ for the Nations in Dallas, where I'm on the road this week. We've got some fascinating video clips to play for you. One that's, well, it's intense eye-opener straight from Israel. And I want to tell you what's coming your way the next couple of days, barring something radically different happening in the news that I feel to make a shift. I'll tell you what's coming the next few days on the broadcast here. And we're going to focus today on Jew hatred and why it exists, anti-Semitism, why it is so rabid and out of control these days, why hundreds of thousands, millions of people are siding with Hamas, barbaric terrorists. Not just saying we stand with the Palestinian people, but siding with Hamas. How can that be? What causes this? Why does it happen? I'll be as direct, forthright, and clear in answering that question as I possibly can. Saturday, in flight to Kansas City, I wrote an article I had been wanting to write for a few days. I was burning with it. It's one of the most urgent articles I ever wrote. And the title was, Wake Up World Before Jewish Blood is Shed in Your Country. Wake Up World Before Jewish Blood is Shed in Your Country. I'm going to share some of that article with you. Okay, that was Saturday. Then it got posted beginning midnight, Saturday night on different sites, then through the day, Sunday, Monday, etc. Different ones, different outlets posting it. The very next day, there is a pro-Palestinian rally. There's a pro-Israel counter rally. There's a heated argument between a Palestinian protester and an older man, a Jewish man, and the pro-Israel side. From what I understand, they're yelling at each other. And there's video footage of all of it. According to the accounts as we have them, the Palestinian protester hits this Jewish man, older Jewish man, over the head. Hits him over the head, he falls to the ground, and as a result of the hit on the head and the fall to the ground, subsequently dies. Friends, on Saturday, I'm warning, wake up before Jewish blood is shed in your country. The next day, a Jewish man is struck in the head and dies at the hands of a Palestinian protester. Did the Palestinian protester intend to kill him? I certainly doubt that was the case. And I think he wouldn't have struck him on the head if he knew he was going to kill him, especially if he's going to end up in jail for years for doing it. Bottom line is, I'm shouting these warnings for a reason. It's not to get clicks and likes. What kind of idiot, what kind of carnal person claiming to be a follower of Jesus, serving as a leader in the body, would post something, a warning like that, because they want to stir controversy, or they want to get clicks, or they want to get likes, or they want to get views. If you post stuff just to be controversial, if you post stuff just to draw attention, if you post stuff just to stir stuff so that you can get more followers, don't call yourself a disciple, let alone a leader in the body. That's carnality. Whole thing I was shouting about yesterday, and I have to make a public confession. I ended my show yesterday with a warning about being hot-headed, losing our temper. I went from there to talk with a dear brother, and I got so frustrated that I got really short with him, and I apologized three times. I said, I just warned everyone online about you know, getting out of control, and I was so frustrated. I was so upset. It was over this very thing. So I confessed it to him. I apologize. I'm confessing it to everyone publicly just because of what I said on the air. The amount of junk that goes out, and everybody's got an opinion, and it just stirs up controversy and does no good. So I don't write something like this unless I feel an urgent warning. And by the way, you don't have to be prophetic. This All you have to do is be logical. It's getting to be increasingly ugly, violent, dangerous. There's an article, should be up any day on the stream, stream.org. I wrote it last night, and I shared this with the permission of the mom. So this is a grad from one of our schools I taught at years past. Solid Christian woman, solid Christian husband, solid Christian home. Her 15-year-old daughter in public school. They are going to go to McDonald's last week to get a biscuit. And she says, Mom, no, we can't go there. They're pro-Israel. What? 15-year-old. Raised in a Christian home. What? They're pro-Israel. Can't go there. And she said, okay, I want you to tell me why they can't go there without using the word genocide. And she said, well, it is genocide. And the mother's thinking, what? What is she learning in school? Not just school, social media. A major poll, Harvard-Harris poll, indicates that of young people 18 to 24 years old, 51% believe that Hamas was justified in its actions. 51% justified in butchering babies, justified in roasting people alive, justified. How can this be? You said, Dr. Brown, you talked about this a lot. Yeah, because we are in a world environment that is like a pre-Holocaust world environment, except it's worldwide. You better believe I'm going to keep shouting and speaking about these things. Here, let me just read some of this article to you. The irrational hatred of the Jewish people and the demonizing of Israel is reaching proportions so dangerous that if people of conscience do not stand up, speak out, and push back, Jewish blood will start flowing in America, in England, and many other countries around the world. Wake up! When Muslims in Sydney, Australia are chanting, gas the Jews, you know that violence is near. When Jewish students at a university here in America have to hide in a library for fear of their lives, you know that violence is near. When Jewish children in Germany are afraid to go to school and parents warn their children not to wear the Star of David in public, you know that violence is near. When I post an image of the Israeli flag on Facebook and draw comments like children killer hospital bombers, you know that violence is near. When a BBC headline reads, British Jews are full of fear like I've never seen before, you know that violence is near. When Representative Rashida Tlaib can post a 2024 election warning to President Biden featuring crowds chanting from the river to the sea, meaning no more state of Israel, you know that violence is near. Wake up. A Jewish friend of mine in Australia wrote to me saying, I don't even feel comfortable going to the city because I know that people think I look Jewish. I think it'd be dangerous for me to go there. Sad world we live in. And on it goes. New York Post reports the latest in campus anti-Semitism horror has seen Jewish students at Cornell dehumanized and threatened with death. If I see a pig male Jew, I will stab you and slit your throat, read one threat posted online on a Greek Life website. Eliminate Jewish living from Cornell campus, read another. A third vile message read, gonna shoot up 104 West, referring to the kosher dining hall on campus. The university has responded by making the usual noises about not tolerating anti-Semitism, but has cravenly advised staff and students to avoid that dining hall. That's the solution. People give you death threats, so avoid the dining hall, as opposed to crack down on the death threats and provide protection. In other words, the New York Post said, the school caved to the hate spewers, taking a step toward precisely what one demanded, the elimination of Jewish living from the Cornell campus. It will not take much to turn these hateful words I wrote into hateful actions. It is time to wake up. I've actually become friends with Guerrilla Hebrew, one of the leaders of the Hebrew Israelite movement, this leader of the Sakari. We've interacted a good amount of times in a cordial way. We obviously have our deep differences, but in a cordial way. And interestingly enough, just a few days ago, a woman drives her car. This is a terrorist attack. She drives her car into a building because she sees Jewish symbolism outside. She assumes it's some type of Jewish building, Jewish school, synagogue, something. She drives her car into it. How did I find out about this? Well, it was before I saw headlines because Guerrilla Hebrew sent it to me. He sent it to me because it's a Hebrew Israelite school. There were kids in the school. And they thought, the driver thought, oh, this is a Jewish school, etc. Drove a car into it. All of the provocation, all of the words out there are spreading this atmosphere that is leading to people chanting, gas the Jews, kill the Jews, etc. It is an evil, evil day. And every person of conscience must speak up and say, we stand against this. We denounce this. And we stand with Israel's right to exist. You may have differences as to how Israel is seeking to eradicate Hamas. You may have differences with the current political situation. I certainly have differences with certain elements of the current Netanyahu government, certain of the right-wing elements that are dangerous and destructive, in my opinion and the opinion of many others. We can discuss all those things. But this is the time when every person of conscience, Christian, Muslim, Jew, atheist, whoever, needs to stand up and say, we categorically denounce Hamas as a terrorist group, and we stand with Israel's right to defend herself. Again, you may have differences as to how that happens, how that works out. But, you know, even the, how can Israel shut off electricity to Gaza? It's a war crime. Oh, hang on. Where were you shouting about war crimes when Hamas not only carried out the slaughter of 1,400 Israeli men, women, and children, including Holocaust survivors and babies, ripping open pregnant women, shooting over 250 young people at a peace festival, dance festival? Where were you screaming about war crimes then when they took over 200 people hostage? But can I just raise something to you? Are you aware that, say, the electricity that Israel supplies Gaza is about 9% of its overall electricity? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that Israel provides it gratis to an enemy? It's technically billed to the Palestinian Authority. They're supposed to pay it. Then Israel just forgives the debt. Are you aware of any of that? Any other supplies that it gives free of charge? Are you aware of the fact that Israel said, just go to the south and just get out of the north where Hamas has all of its enclaves in Gaza, because that's where we're attacking. Go to the south. You got power. You got everything you need. We're supplying it gratis there. What kind of combatant in a war does that for the enemy? And by the way, with all the calls for ceasefire, which, like people say, it's like Japan attacking Pearl Harbor, then we attack back, say, ceasefire time. With all that, it's simple. It would happen in a split second if Hamas releases the hostages that it is holding against every ethic of man and God and law and whatever. Release the hostages. It's that simple. Release the hostages and you have a ceasefire. Make sure you get humanitarian aid to the people, and then Israel carries out its goal of eradicating Hamas. Hey, friends, things are so twisted, so upside down. I hope you, as a lover of truth, and those of you who are followers of Jesus, I hope you don't get duped by all the junk out there. It's dangerous, it's destructive, and people are going to die because of it. All right, we come back. I'm going to take you to Jordan Peterson explaining his view, one of the reasons for anti-Semitism. You're right.
Are you wanting to ensure the best way your body can fight off infections, viruses, and health-robbing pathogens? Discover the power of high levels of vitamin D. The medical community, since 2020, has been shocked into realizing just how crucial vitamin D is in supporting immune function. This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness, with this very important health message. The immune system is your miraculous, God-given and designed system you were born with. It is responsible for identifying bacteria, viruses, and parasites that can cause infections and disease. In fact, medical science is now associating low levels of vitamin D with the most serious health conditions of today. And how widespread is vitamin D deficiency? Nearly half of the adults in America are vitamin D deficient. Common symptoms of low vitamin D are fatigue, mood swings, joint pain, muscle weakness, hair loss, and yes, even bone loss. If you're serious about immune health, get your vitamin D level above 50 And yes, higher is better. I encourage you to purchase Trivita's Essential D3. The soft gel is easy to swallow, and it absorbs well. Don't put yourself in harm's way with vitamin D deficiency. Daily, boost your immune system with Trivita's Essential D3.
Essential D is formulated with 5,000 international units of vitamin D. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Hey, you think I'm wrong on all this? You think my positions are biased and misleading and unchristian or unbiblical or inaccurate? Give me a call. Tell me why. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. By the way, just listened to that ad myself for vitamin D and so glad that I supplement my super healthy diet. Yes, this is a key supplement in my super healthy diet that is essential, is this vitamin D supplement. So I strongly encourage you to check it out, 800-771-5584. Or go to trivita.com. Be sure to use the code BROWN25. We all have one intent in doing this, to see you healthier physically and to reach more people with the Line of Fire. That's the goal of Trivita. That's my goal. So thank you for standing together with us. Okay. Tomorrow, what I plan to get into on the show is cessationist critics, the good, the bad, the ugly. What I want to do is really speak well of brothers in the Lord in terms of motivation, in terms of what they've expressed. I don't judge people's hearts, but interacting with some critics, what they've shared, and what I really appreciate. And what I think it's good for my charismatic friends to hear as to why some critics do what they do. And then where there are things that are bad in terms of the results of the theology, I want to talk about that. It's not attacking people. And then without mentioning any names, I do want to explain what I think is not constructive and is unhelpful. So where I will name names is when I have something positive to say. So I believe tomorrow, and I hope folks will tune in that would be in the camp of critics or strong cessationists. I hope you'll tune in, and I'm going to be as fair as I can. And if anyone feels I'm not fair at any point, by all means, the phone lines are going to be open. But I want to try to do this to glorify the Lord and to help us to unite around truth as brothers and sisters in Jesus. So the goal is not to divide, not to be derisive, not to be taking cheap shots, God forbid. I think you'll find it very helpful. And then Thursday, God willing, I want to read to you from a famous sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And the show might have the theme, Charles Spurgeon Rebukes Replacement Theology. Yeah, I think that'll get your attention. So hopefully we'll go that way Thursday, and then, of course, Q&A on Friday. I'll probably start with a short teaching. Okay, so Jordan Peterson is explaining his reasons why he believes the war started, of course, Hamas being a proxy for Iran and largely funded by Iran and others, sadly. So many feel this way, but he articulates it very well. Let's listen to Jordan Peterson.
Peterson says the war began because of the desperation of totalitarian nations.
If it was straightforward and simple, and if there was an easy path forward, then there wouldn't be a war. And so, I mean, I can tell you what I think is going on to the degree that you can reduce it to something quickly explicable. You know, I think Iran is desperate because of the tenuous hold on power that the mullahs now have in Iran, given their own citizens' rebellion. I think they see the Abraham Accords, which were the most significant step forward towards peace in the Middle East for like 75 years. They see the Abraham Accords as an existential threat. This is a last-ditch attempt by the Iranian mullahs to use the Islam against Jews story to prop up their own dismal reign. And so they rattled the chain of their Hamas puppets and said, provoke, and they did. And their hope is that the Israeli response will be so overwhelming that the Arab world turns against them, and maybe even the people who might be inclined to, you know, be swayed by a victim narrative in the West, and that the Abraham Accords will fall apart, and that'll be the end of that. And that could happen.
Yeah, in fact, that's exactly what's happening. So Jordan Peterson brilliantly, clearly states this. Many others feel this way as well. We heard it right out of the gate, and it does make a lot of sense, and it's exactly what is happening. And what is added to this is Hamas could not have imagined they'd have as much success as they did. It was a complete failure, the perfect storm on Israel's side, the complete success on their demonic side, the destruction they brought. That has brought with us an even stronger Israeli retaliation, as it has to eliminate the possibility of Hamas ever doing something like this again. So very, very successful in that regard, tragically, on every front. So Jordan Peterson is now asked about anti-Semitism itself, Jew hatred. Why does it exist? Why does Israel get demonized the specific way that it gets demonized? Now, this is his full answer. He's brilliant. I'm sure there's so much more that he could say. But listen to one thing he focuses on, and then I want to play off that and explain to you my larger view of the ultimate cause and root of Jew hatred. Listen to what he said.
On October the 7th, Hamas obviously committed a terror attack of appalling magnitude. Where were you when you first heard about it, and what was your instant feeling about it?
Well, my instant feeling was to be sickened by it, you know, and it hasn't been that long since I was in Jerusalem, and so it was a little closer to me than it might have otherwise been. I'm also more sensitive to any signs of anti-Semitic catastrophe from studying the Holocaust for the length of time that I did. And I've always regarded Jews as the canary in the coal mine. And I think the reason that the Jews are the canary in the coal mine is because they're a successful minority. You know, and if a culture can tolerate a successful minority, it's pretty damn robust and it's not very resentful. And as soon as a culture starts to get resentful, the Jews make an easy target, because they're a minority, and so that's an easy target to begin with. But then they're the minority that has the temerity to be successful. And that really brings the resentful out of the rat holes.
Yeah, so again, that is, he would say, one element. He's not saying it's comprehensive. And it certainly is one element. But here's what makes anti-Semitism, what makes Jew hatred, something that goes beyond the rational explanation. You see, Jews are hated when they are a successful minority. Jews are hated when they are an unsuccessful minority. Jews are hated when they are rich for being rich. Jews are hated when they are poor for being poor. Jews are hated when they are religious for being different. Jews were hated and are hated when they are irreligious for being the same. So the hatred transcends a rational explanation. It is not only the longest hatred, as Edward Flannery pointed out in his book on anti-Semitism, The Anguish of the Jews, Catholic scholar Edward Flannery, pointing back to it being 2,300 years old, in other words, back to Greco-Roman, really Greek anti-Semitism, and that was because of Jews being different, etc. But you can go back to the Book of Esther. You can go all the way back to the Book of Exodus if you want to find more roots of it in terms of history. But clearly, just on a secular level, you find it several hundred years before the New Testament. And then you find, as a result of the misuse of the New Testament, that anti-Semitism makes its way into church history and exists to this day in various Christian circles. Just look at the writings of Catholic scholar E. Michael Jones, for an example. look at the statements of Christian nationalist Nick Fuentes. By the way, not all Christian nationalists are radical extremists. It all depends how the word is defined, okay? And there are plenty of Catholics who are follow semites. We understand it. So I'm not blaming systems. I'm just mentioning individuals. You find it on Protestant sides, the Catholic sides, Greek Orthodox sides, all different sides. You find it in Islam, and it remains virulent and intense in Islam to this day. When I was researching for my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, which came out in its first edition in 1992, now the updated edition in 2019, I noted that there were best-selling books in Japan blaming economic difficulties in Japan on the Jews. It's what? Japan. You find it among atheists. You find it among fascists. You find it among communists. And then every type of myth about the Jews. And when I'll get into more of this, but when you look at all of it, and then you come up, well, it's because of religion, well, it's because of finances, well, it's because of this, because the dots never connect. Each one answers a few, but not the whole. So there is one thing that connects all the dots. As soon as we come back, I'm going straight there. It connects all the dots. It is the ultimate reason for Jew hatred and the demonizing of Israel. And it's very simple. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way? Because you believe what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear. Testimony after testimony is leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks to all of our supporters who enable us to do what we're doing. If you're not getting my emails, we have some really critical things going on, stuff we want to help you be equipped and ready on the front lines, ways we can minister to you. Sign up now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll be able to sign up within 30 seconds. If you don't have the app, download it. The moment you have an opportunity, the challenge with the app is there's so much there that's there for you for free. You can explore it for years to come and not exhaust it. I mean it. Hours a day for years to come and not exhaust everything that's there. Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. That's the app. ASK Dr. Brown Ministries, of course. Everything on the app is free. Our goal is to reach as many as we can to help see the church healthy, revival in the church, to help spark a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in the society, and to work towards the redemption of Israel. The ultimate solution for all problems is for Jews, for Muslims, for people around the world to turn to Jesus, Yeshua. Ultimate, lasting, true peace will not come until then. And what my heart burns for more than anything is to see my Jewish people come to know Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Yes, I want to see Muslims come to faith and others, but I have a primary calling in terms of apologetics and outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in terms of ministry and trips, I've been outside of Israel 10 times more, virtually 10 times more than I've been in Israel. And our grads serving as missionaries all around the world, they are 20 times, 50 times more outside of Israel and in Israel, but they carry that burden for Israel as well. So the length of this Jew hatred, specific hatred of a particular group for this long period of time, and to be this burning and intense today, that's unprecedented. That does not exist in any other way, in a systematic way. There have been terrible suffering for different peoples over the years. No one denies that. Horrific suffering, barbaric suffering. But this targeting of one people for this long over a period of Nona has never happened like this with any other group around the world. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the widespread nature of it, as I said, communist, fascist, atheist, religious, rich, poor, black, white. In fact, a unifying force is black supremacists and white supremacists both hate the Jews and praise Hitler. Yeah, think of that. So the widespread nature and then the irrational nature of what Jews are blamed for. During the Middle Ages, when there was the Black Plague, and in some places, a third of the population died. Well, not as many Jews died. One obvious reason, hygiene laws based on the Torah. No, it's because the Jews started it. Well, many Jews died too. No. They started it. They poisoned the wells. They used like monkeys' hearts and other things and the elements of the Lord's Supper, and they poisoned the wells. That's how it happened. Jews were killed over this. When there was an official public church declaration that the wafer and the wine and the communion elements actually were, not just represented, but actually were the body and blood of Jesus. Then the rumor began that angry Jews wanted to get back at Jesus because they hated him so much, kidnapped a wafer and tortured the wafer. So nobody believes this happened. No, not only did it happen, But Jewish families, communities burned at the stake for allegedly doing this. People tortured, then someone under torture would make a quote confession, and then many burned at the stake. Right up to this day, when Jews get blamed for, I remember in the AIDS crisis, they were blamed for spreading AIDS. I've read reports that they run the Vatican, and on and on. How do you explain it all? Well, it's really very simple. And to me, there's no other rational explanation. The Jewish people have been chosen by God specifically for a particular mission. That mission remains. Whether an individual Jewish person, they themselves are elect, whether they are saved, whether they're in right relationship with God, that's another question. But just like Old Testament Israel was the elect, chosen nation, that remains. God doesn't go back on his word. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They remain the chosen people. They may not be right with God. They may not be saved, all of them, many of them, but they remain the chosen people. Paul's explicit, Romans 11:28, uses every word, election. We went through the verses last week. They're still elect. You say, well, God only has one chosen people. That's a nice little phrase, but it's not true. He has the chosen people, which is physical Israel, which is those who have become part of the Jewish people worldwide. They are the chosen people. They are elect. Whether they're in right relationship with God is a separate story, just like in the Old Testament. Whether individuals are saved or not is a separate story, just like in the Old Testament. Whether they're forgiven of their sins or not is a separate story, just like in the Old Testament, remains the same today. And those who are chosen in Messiah, chosen in Christ, who have eternal life, will be with him forever, among which are Jews and Gentiles, the ecclesia, the messianic congregation, the church. So they remain the chosen people, and they still have a mission. And therefore, Satan hates them and wants to wipe them out. It is that simple. The ultimate root cause of anti-Semitism is that Satan hates the Jewish people and wants to wipe them off the planet. Say, but Dr. Brown, you're forgetting all the verses about divine judgment and God scattering your own people because of judgment, because of wrath. No, I'm not forgetting that at all. Much of our suffering is due to our sin. Much of our suffering is due to our disobedience. Ultra-Orthodox rabbis will even say the Holocaust. There are ultra-Orthodox rabbis who even say that. I mean, they get despised by others for saying it, but there's some who will actually say, and some of their communities believe that, hey, German Jews were violating the Sabbath. There was so much apostasy. There were so many that were secular, and we brought judgment on ourselves. Yeah, there are some who even say that. That's not my position. Say it again. That is not my position. But in point of fact, yes, we have suffered because of our sins. But anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, the demonizing of Israel goes beyond that. It is satanic. Why does Satan want to wipe us out? Well, one, we were chosen by God. Therefore, he hates us because he hates God, right? You find out that someone's a member of someone's family and you hate the family. You now hate that person if you're full of hatred. That's number one. Number two, he promised that no matter what happened, this people would never leave the earth. That even if we were decimated and reduced in number, we would never be destroyed. The most explicit passage, Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 37, explicitly speaking about physical Israel, not the Gentiles, not the nations of the earth, not the church. All right? And trust me, when we get into the show on Thursday, if we go that direction where Charles Spurgeon rebukes replacement theology, he'll have something to say about this reading of the verses where we turn them upside down. Turn their meaning upside down. He'll have some very strong rebukes for that. So, God has promised to keep us on the earth, and therefore, Satan wants to wipe us out. Number one, his hatred of us. Number two, if he can do so, he makes God into a liar. Number three, a Jewish Jerusalem must welcome the Messiah back. Yes, I've shared these things before, but it never hurts to share them again. A Jewish Jerusalem must welcome the Messiah back. That's explicit at the end of Matthew 23. It's implied in not the Jewish Jerusalem part, but the Jewish repentance in Acts 3, beginning verse 19. There are other passages that point in this direction as well. It is portrayed, laid out in advance in Zechariah the 12th chapter, exactly how it's going to unfold, and then reinforced in the 14th chapter. Jewish repentance will bring the Messiah back. And a Jewish Jerusalem must welcome him back. A Jewish Jerusalem, representing the leadership and the nation, will not see him again. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 23, 37 to 39. A Jewish Jerusalem, again representing the leadership and the people, will not see him again until it says, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So if you're the devil, you want to wipe the Jewish people out. If you can't wipe the Jewish people out, you want to keep them out of Jerusalem and keep Jerusalem out of their control. If you can't keep Jerusalem out of their control, because a Jewish Jerusalem must welcome it back, by all means, keep Jewish people away from Jesus, Yeshua. That's why that is the ultimate battle that is going to be fought. That's why that's the third R of our ministry, revival in the church, gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in society, and redemption in Israel. This is the culmination, Romans 11, 25, the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, and all Israel saved. That's the culmination of the ages, the gospel going and being preached as a witness to all peoples, Matthew 24, 14, and then the turning of Israel. But he beat to a light to share to Karadil. They'll look to him if they've pierced. They'll look to me if they've pierced for Saf Du'alav, and they'll mourn over him, Zechariah 12. This is what we look forward to. And this is why Satan hates the Jewish people, plain and simple. He wants to wipe us off the planet. He wants to keep us out of Israel, out of Jerusalem in particular. He wants to keep Jerusalem out of Jewish control. Why do you think there's a world battle over the embassy? Every other country in the world, whatever the country is, here's our capital. Everyone sets their embassy there. It's that simple. If they're going to recognize that country, that's where the embassy is. Oh, not Israel. It's got to be Tel Aviv. That's why it was a bold and right move that President Trump made. One of the very good things that he did as president was to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Why do you think there's such battle over this? Because it's spiritual. And that's why you can't explain it rationally. And that's why so many Christians get on the wrong side of this, because they don't recognize the spiritual battle. Because they're not looking at it through the right eyes. And that's why the people in the world are so easily duped. Yeah, Orthodox rabbi, ultra-Orthodox rabbi sent me this article this morning. I want to start reading from it. 866-34-TRUTH. I will get to some calls. And I've got a skit, kind of the equivalent of Saturday Night Live in Israel. No, I'm not a Saturday Night Live watcher, but know about the skits. A real satire about LGBT, let's see, LGBTQH. H? What's the H? Lesbian, gay, bi, trans, queer. H is Hamas. What? You'll hear that on the other side of the break. But this is an article from Brendan O'Neill at spikedonline.com. I don't know about the website. Spikedonline.com. Why won't the Jews just let themselves be killed? Nothing better captures the moral decay of our woke elites than their haughty disdain for the state of Israel. He says, so let me get this right. If Israel bombs Hamas targets in Gaza, it is recklessly endangering civilian life. But if it gives civilians fair warning to move away from certain areas, it is engaging in ethnic cleansing. If it drops bombs in built-up suburbs, it is committing a war crime. But if it advises civilians to leave those built-up suburbs before the bombs come, it is also committing a war crime. If it attacks northern Gaza, that's genocide. Yet when it tells the civilians of northern Gaza to leave first, that's forced transfer, which is to say genocide. Everything Israel does is a war crime. Everything. Killing civilians, war crime. Trying not to kill civilians, war crime. Bombing populated areas, war crime. Giving a population time to leave before dropping bombs, war crime. The surrealism of these screams of genocide, every time an Israeli soldier so much as picks up his gun, was brought home by two headlines in The Independent last week, published just 10 hours apart. Israel is engaged in, quote, collective punishment in Gaza, claimed the first. Israel accused of trying to ethnically cleanse Gaza Strip as 1 million ordered to evacuate, said the second. Madness. Madness. Let's stand against it. My friend, you've got to stand against it. Otherwise, the madness is going to spread.
Do you want to feel at your best all year round? Look no further than Trivita's Sunshine Vitamin Essential D. Who hasn't felt sluggish and run down, especially during winter months when the sun is scarce? Trivita's Essential D is the answer you've been searching for to help you through even the cloudiest of days. I'm Dr. Paul, Director of Wellness Services at Trivita, and I have a health alert. Studies have shown that vitamin D deficiency is associated with increased risk and severity of infections and hospitalization of older adults. But there's good news. The evidence has also shown that adequate vitamin D helps modulate the immune system, reducing inflammation and promoting the body's healthy defense against infections. You'll love Trivita's Essential D because just one small gel capsule per day contains 5,000 international units of essential vitamin D. Trivita's formula is also highly absorbable because it's made of vitamin D3, which is the same form your body makes from sunshine. Join the thousands of satisfied Trivita members just like you who have already experienced the benefits of Trivita's Essential D to support their immune health, bone health, and mood. Get your 30-day supply of Essential D today.
To order Trivita's Essential D for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA, trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before I go to the phones, I want to play this for you. If you're watching, you'll see the two young people. These are Israelis. It's a skit. It's a satire, but it is quite illustrative and tragically accurate. So the guy looks like some stereotypical gay guy. I mean, it's the whole thing of satire. They both have multicolored hair and the whole bit. Let us listen to this. It's as if they're students at Columbia University.
Hi, everyone. We are live on YouTube with Columbia Antisemity News, where everyone is welcome. LGBTQH.
H?
Hamas.
Yeah, I totally see Hamas. Yeah. It's so trending right now.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Do you know why it's true? Because it rhymes. Just look at all this toxic Zionist propaganda. Kidnapping Gaza. Does this look like Gaza to you?
Yeah, but I have no idea what Gaza looks like.
And they're smiling. Do hostages smile? Zionist liars.
Totally sus.
Do they think we're stupid?
Stupid? I major in queer post-colonial astrology. Ew. Jews make the world dirty.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm racist fluid.
Exactly. And now for a little break from all this activism, we want to say hello to our BFF.
Bestie freedom fighter.
Abu Fatwa in Gaza. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And inshallah, Allah will kill you all infidels.
Thank you so much for joining us. Love the headpiece, the all oppression chic. Very drip.
Mr. Fatwa, how are you? Are you safe?
Oh, yes, I'm safe. I'm in a tunnel under the Gaza hospital. Oh. Above me, I have Allah and 2 million civilians protecting me.
Community is so important these days.
Do you need, like, humanitarian aid? Food, fuel, medicine?
It's okay. I have everything. I'm only hungry for rockets.
As long as it's organic.
Yeah.
I wish I just could be there with you.
You can. You can come to Gaza anytime, and we will throw you from the roof, you homosexual dirt.
Do you hear? Bro, want to throw me a rooftop party.
They are so welcoming and inclusive.
So shukran. And you are also very welcome to come here to America.
We will come. First, we finish with Israel. And America is next.
Great! So, I guess we'll see you soon.
Yes, it will be a blast.
Can't wait. It will be so multicultural.
Ya Allah, you are so stupid.
Thank you so much, Abu. We love you.
I won't even bother killing you. It's a waste of bullets.
Good vibes only.
It's better you just kill yourself.
Okay, bye.
Die.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be just free. Yeah, that sounds better.
It is better.
Here's what's so shocking about the satire. It's basically true. In other words, it is that blind. It is that idiotic. It is that perverse. It's a little exaggerated, but in terms of how it's playing out, that's the reality. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Let me say it again. You may differ with current Israeli policy. You may differ with Jewish settlements in Judea Samaria called the West Bank. You may differ strongly with the current government. You may not like Prime Minister Netanyahu. You may think that Israel needs to go back to pre-1967 borders and have a two-state solution. You may think that Israel is absolutely wrong in the way that it is carrying out its attempts to eradicate Hamas. You may have all those views, but I implore you as a moral person, denounce Hamas and say Israel has a right to live in peace and to defend itself. If you can't say those statements, something is fundamentally wrong. And I've given all the qualifiers I can give. All right, we go to the phones. We will start with Julius in El Paso, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Apostle Brown.
Hey.
And I really wanted to I really wanted to ask you a question, and that is this. You know, when other nations get attacked by terrorists, they immediately attack back, and that's the right thing to do. But when Israel has been attacked by Hamas, they're supposed to just take it. I've been watching this thing since 2005 when they gave the land back to the Palestinians. They voted for those people, and they put them in power, and, you know, Hamas was just throwing rockets at them. What do you expect? This is a righteous war. And I'm going to tell you flat out, Netanyahu's going to win this war. He's going to take the Gaza Strip. He has to do it. And I support him in taking the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. He's avenging the deaths of our brothers and sisters who have been murdered by Hamas. So this is a righteous war, and that's all I have to say about that.
Hey,
and
hey,
I support Israel 110%.
Julius, thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. Really, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Dr. Brown, you don't care. Julius, you don't care. You don't care about the suffering of the Palestinians. No, it's not the issue at all. And I don't know how many times I have to repeat that Palestinian blood is as precious in God's sight as Israeli blood. But when Hamas, here, think of this. According to all the evidence we have, as Israel has said, flee south, as Israel drops tens of thousands of leaflets saying flee, when they place tens of thousands of calls to home saying flee, we're going to be bombing here. When Hamas intentionally sets up quarters, a tunnel under a hospital, puts a rocket launcher next to a children's school, and you are trying to eradicate the murderers, what is Israel supposed to do? Okay, just come kill more of our people? Seriously? Let's go a little further here. When Israel is saying, go south, we are not bombing to give you time to go south, to head south. And according to the best reports we have, Hamas snipers have killed their own people trying to flee south and then blame it on Israel. So look what Israel's doing. Have put up roadblocks to stop people from fleeing. Have urged them, do not flee. And when top Hamas leaders, according to reports I read today, the top leaders worth each over $3 billion. When there are hundreds of millionaires living in Gaza Strip, you say in Gaza Strip? Yes, in gorgeous luxury homes and in luxury hotels while the people languish and suffer. The hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions and millions and billions of dollars that is poured in to the Hamas government to help the people, to help with infrastructure and jobs and development and hospitals and on and on. And instead it goes to weaponry and terror tunnels. What is Israel supposed to do? They've got to get rid of Hamas. Hamas is destroying the people of Gaza. Hamas is destroying the people of Gaza. Not Israel, Hamas. Let us go over to Maryland. Rita, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes. Hi, Michael Brown. Dr. Brown, how are you today?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. Just had a question. Just first of all, thank you for just being this voice for such a time as this. We really need to have your voice. I did have a question regarding Ethiopian Jews or like how Jews are like these type of Jews are being integrated into back into Israel, because I know like how Israel became a nation in 1948, but I don't really hear too much about and Ethiopian Jews, I guess, are just one example of really a darker skin, but they are truly Jews. Like they're not Hebrew Israelites or anything. They're truly Jewish. How is that being integrated? I don't find that much information about it as much as I do. And also, why do we say Ethiopian Jews? Like, why aren't they just Jewish? You know, those type of things.
Right,
I just
right.
have questions about that.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I'm an American Jew. Even to say Ashkenazi, that means from the Rhineland, you know, German Jews, Sephardi Jews from Iberian Peninsula, etc., Russian Jews. So, you know, we use those things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly interacting with friends talking about Russian Jews in Israel, etc. So there's been good, but there's been bad. Let me back it up. the modern state of Israel, you have people like Iraqi Jews and Yemenite Jews. They've been living there for some cases 2,000 years, 2,500 years in some cases. And they would be darker, many of them darker skin, like Middle Eastern skin. And then Sephardic Jews, they were considered like the lower class because it was mainly Ashkenazi Jews that developed the land and things. So there was some prejudice against the Sephardic Jews and other Mizrahi Jews and things like that over the decades with Israel. A chief rabbi of Avadia Sferno, Avadia Yosef, this different Sferno's different guy from hundreds of years ago. Avadia Yosef, he really elevated the status of Sephardic Jews in the country, and there's much more equality there. But Ethiopian Jews, Israel very sacrificially and with great celebration brought them over to the land. And it was a big mm-hmm. thing. It was a tremendously celebrated thing. And in many cases, they're fully integrated. I mean, you go through Israel and they're fully integrated in all aspects of society. In other ways, there has been some discrimination against them, for sure. And it could be color of skin. It could also just be the newest outsider group. And they haven't had, they live often on lower income, often have lower jobs. So there has not been a fully successful integration. And there have been some instances that really they've been mistreated. So the general Israel population is definitely for them, wants to see them integrated. If you're there in Israel, they'll be like everybody else on the one hand. But there had definitely been some problems, and Israel definitely needs to continue to do better there. Hey, thank you for the kind words when you said, thank you being a voice for such a time as this. That's it, in an essence. That's why we're here. That's why we're on the line. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click donate to help us keep doing what we're doing. Together, we're making a difference.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.